Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Again, as we usually do every Friday, we look ahead to the readings for this Sunday, November 12th, which will be the 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. And the first reading today is taken from the Book of Wisdom, and I want to apply some of this to what we've been thinking about and praying about this week. Who is first in my life? What kind of fruit is my life bearing? Do I see myself truly as a disciple of Christ? And if so, what does that translate into in terms of reality? So it's all this week has been so much about putting God first and everything else in their rightful place. So let's take a look. The first reading for today is taken, for this Sunday, is taken from the Book of Wisdom, chapter 6, verses 12 to 16. Resplendent and unfading is wisdom, and she is readily perceived by those who love her, and found by those who seek her. She hastens to make herself known in anticipation of their desire. Whoever watches for her at dawn shall not be disappointed, for he shall find her sitting by his gate. For taking thought of wisdom is the perfection of prudence, and whoever for her sake keeps vigil shall quickly be free from care, because she makes her own rounds, seeking those worthy of her, and graciously appears to them in the ways, and meets them with all solicitude. The gift of wisdom. What does it really mean? Let me kind of tick off for you some things that wisdom means, and you will have heard them over the course of this week, most of them. But I want you to don't think of wisdom from an earthly framework. Wisdom is to know what God's priorities are, and we learn them by the commandments, and we learn them by Scripture, and we learn them by the teaching of the church. God's wisdom is a gift that God gives to us in baptism, strengthens in us in confirmation. Do you know what God's wisdom is, and do you live by it? First question we need to ask ourselves are, what are our priorities? Do my priorities all have me at the beginning? Or is my first priority really to know, love, and serve the God who created me? Is that priority there? Do I see myself truly as a son or daughter of God? Do I live out of that reality? That's wisdom. And finally, at least for this moment, finally, wisdom is also recognizing that I want God's will at the source of everything I do, because then it will flourish and bear fruit. If I just try to force my own will in my own way, one, I may not be doing God's will, and number two, I will for sure hurt other people. Wisdom is to want God's will, love God's will, seek God's will. Seek God with all your heart. Love him. Care for those you're responsible for. Reach out to those in need. That encapsulates the wisdom of God in the sense of these are God's priorities. There's much, much more to be said. But it's so important that we grasp how resplendent and unfading is wisdom. It is an attribute of God himself. And when we take on God's mind, when we take on God's priorities, we become like him in that respect. And it bears fruit. So, are we willing to put our trust in God and his priorities for our lives, his ways? Tell God what your priorities are. Tell God what your hopes are. Tell God what your dreams are. That's fine. But what you want is to do the will of God, because God will order all those good dreams and good priorities and good hopes in your life. But keep seeking God, because all the things that you want come really with knowing God and loving God and serving God. So much of what we really desire is found. In fact, everything that we really desire, if it's a good thing, is found by following the wisdom of God, by making him the priority, by wanting his will every day in your life, because it's the best thing that could happen to you, takes faith to believe that, but it's absolutely true. That passage that we just read says, for taking thought of wisdom is the perfection of prudence. In other words, you're being most wise here. And whoever for her sake keeps vigil shall quickly be free from care, because she makes her own rounds, seeking those worthy of her, graciously appears to them in the ways, and meets them with all solicitude. God's wisdom will care for you. My soul is thirsting for you, O Lord my God. Read that psalm, pray that psalm. Ask if that psalm is true in your heart, and ask God for the grace that that psalm may be more and more a reality in your own life. And the second reading is from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. We do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, about those who have fallen asleep, so that you may not grieve like the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose, so too will God, through Jesus, bring with him those who have fallen asleep. Indeed, we tell you this on the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will surely not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself, with a word of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, will come down from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, console one another with these words. When you were baptized into Christ's life. And God wants to accompany you and take care of you at every step of your journey in this life. And he wants to assure you that there is an eternal life. And that if you have obeyed him on this earth and repent when you fail, you will see him for all eternity. You will have life in abundance, with no more mourning, no more weeping, no more pain, no more death anymore. All is new in Christ. All is new. This is true, brothers and sisters. I say it quite clearly. You can absolutely stake your life on that reality, and you will not be disappointed. But it does ask of us that we repent when we sin, and that each day we draw closer to him in this life. And that's what prepares us for the life to come. The Alleluia verse before the gospel says, stay awake and be ready, for you do not know on what day your Lord will come. We don't, do we? Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 1. Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones, when taking their lamps, brought no oil with them, but the wise brought flasks of oil with their lamps. Since the bridegroom was long delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep, and at midnight there was a cry, behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him. And then all those virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise ones replied, no, for there may not be enough for us and you. Go instead to the merchants and buy some for yourselves. And while they went off to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went into the wedding feast with him. Then the door was locked. Afterwards, the other virgins came and said, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. But he said in reply, amen, I say to you, I do not know you. Therefore, stay awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Brothers and sisters, God will call us to the eternal and final judgment. We do not know the day or the hour. And so it behooves us how we live on this earth. It behooves us to pay attention to how we are living and to what our priorities are. Because God will come for each of us at a time we do not expect. We do not know the exact time of our death. And if we are not ready, the Lord will come and will say, Lord, I still have to go get this. I have to get that. Wait for me. And the Lord will say, no, because he gave us every opportunity to turn to him, every opportunity to put our trust in him. And we said later, yeah, someday I want to go on a retreat. Or someday, you know, I'd like to do something for that guy across the street. Or whatever the case may be. It's always someday, maybe. Brothers and sisters, don't put off 1 minute your turning to Christ if you've turned away from him. Don't put off for 1 minute more turning back to him and say, Lord, please forgive me and receive me. And then he'll lead you. Forgive me and receive me. Wherever, right now in your life, wherever you have either turned away from Christ or you've procrastinated and you're not willing to make a couple of tough decisions to get yourself back on the right path, do it today. Do it now. Because we will not know the day nor the hour when he will come for us. We want to be like the wise virgins with their lamps burning brightly, ready, waiting, watching. As you pray daily, as you seek forgiveness of your sin quickly, as you reach out to care for the poor, as you carry out the responsibilities that you have every day. Some of them seem so mundane, so trite, so hidden. Who would know? But God knows. And if we offer each work, thought, act, we offer it to God for his honor and glory. Take that attitude, asking that all the graces of our baptism and all the other sacraments we have received, that those graces would come alive in us. And God wants nothing more than to do that for us, but he waits on our free will. Take time every day to say, Lord, activate the gifts. And then read about them in the catechism. See what God wants to do in you and through you. Ask forgiveness for your sin. If you've offended someone, go and seek forgiveness. If you've been offended by someone, pray that they will come to you and seek to be a partner in that go part way. Even if the wrong has been done to you, reach out and say, I'd like to get our relationship back on course again, wouldn't you? Sometimes that's a way of, it makes you vulnerable, but it's a way of offering the person an opportunity to make it easier for them to ask your forgiveness. Just every day, let your day be marked by your obedience to the gospel and to what Jesus asks. He asks a lot, but he gives infinitely more, and he gives it for all eternity. Really, for all eternity. So let's do this weekend what Scripture asks us to do. Be watchful, be ready, be prepared, for you know not the day nor the hour. May God abundantly bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.